Okay, Eric, now I have a very important question for you. Do you think the CIA, the FBI, and the Mossad is one of the same organizations? Do you think America is actually being run by Israel right now as we speak? Because I smell a rat when I see Ehud Olmert, Shimon Peres, meeting with Clinton, and then meeting with Bush. What do you make of this, Eric?
Well, what's interesting is if you look back at how the CIA was created and the FBI, it's possible that the Zionists created the organizations or were there in the beginning. And so they didn't even have to infiltrate it. They were there from the beginning to help shape it. Because they do seem to be following their control. And a good example is the FBI. The FBI investigated the 9/11 attack, Oklahoma City, all sorts of attacks. The FBI was even in Bali, Indonesia. Remember that bomb in October of 2002? Even the people in Indonesia, if you look at their news reports, are asking, what is the FBI doing here with taking our evidence? It's what are they over in our country doing? And what you'll see the FBI doing time after time after time is rushing to every terrorist attack. And in some cases, they're already there. They're on the scene. Like at the Pentagon, they were immediately picking up the security camera videos. Right after whatever hit the Pentagon crashed into it, they were there to pick up.
And FEMA as well at the 9/11 World Trade Center scene.
Right.
They were there the night before.
Well, right. And see, these are the federal agencies. And what it looks like is these agencies are under complete control of Israel. They are at every major Zionist false flag attack. And they're there to clean up the mess, to frighten witnesses, to identify the witnesses, to confiscate evidence. The evidence suggests that these are agencies of Israel, and and it may not be that they were infiltrated. It may be that Zionists within the American government created them, and so this is what is about. The only way you can explain something like the FBI, who never solves anything. The only people the FBI ever arrests are what appear to be just ordinary people that are not part of the crime network. You know, they're just occasionally arrest a bank robber or something. But they don't go after the real crimes. And for years under J. Edgar Hoover, they were pretending there was no such thing as organized crime. And so it's a possibility that they were there to create these organizations. And if you look at America, even before the 9/11 attack, you don't even have to go back very far. How many Americans even suspected Israelis of anything? How many knew what a Zionist was? How many would have suspected a Jew of being a Zionist? How many would have suspected the Rothschilds or one of their friends? The Rothschilds supposedly financed the Rockefellers, for example. Who suspected the Rockefellers of being involved with them? So decades ago, they had free rein. You know, they could do anything they wanted. Nobody suspected them. There were reports of Israelis even wandering around the Pentagon. Nobody really thought anything strange about that. Today it's a little different, that people are a little more aware of what's going on, but before they could do anything, they were treated by the media as Israel is America's only and best friend in the entire Middle East. That's what the media tells us over and over. They keep telling us this. They're our best friends. And this comes from the media again. It comes from the Zionists. And it's a lie. Israel is not our friend. Israel is using us. They're using us the same way that every once in a while you hear of boys discovering there's a retarded girl in their neighborhood, and they trick her into letting them have sex with her. That is what's going on with America and Israel. That's the relationship we have. The Israelis are treating us as a retarded girl, and they're just raping us. And we, the Americans, think, oh, they're in love with us. They're our best friends. Here we are giving billions of dollars a year to them. We're giving billions to Egypt to prevent Egypt from fighting with them. We're spending billions on a war to kill Iraqis and destroy Iraq. And this has been going on for decades. That's not our friend. This is an abusive relationship. And then you go back farther, you see they did the same thing with Europe.
So something was really serious when the American populace is watching football and then all of their hard-earned dollar is being raped, pillaged, and plundered by none other than Israel, on and on.
Yeah, and people, Americans will complain about taxes and all the rest of this, but whose fault is it? I mean, all they have to do is get rid of this Zionist cancer. I mean, they're ransacking the nation. And see, it's more than just Israel. If you look at the crimes they're committing, just take a look at what's going on with the stock market, all the manipulations, the banking, the savings and loan scandals. They're all over this. They're running all sorts of crimes. It's not just we're paying more than just military aid and economic aid to Israel. They're cheating us in very big scams. There's a report that Enron is just the tip of the iceberg. What was going on with Enron? There's worse crimes supposedly going on in the entire financial markets.
So it's happening every single day. And something happened just a few weeks ago, and this week they're talking about the crash of the market in real estate will happen. So it's onward and upward for these fellows. Probably that's their main agenda here, to crash the American populace and then foreclose on all of their real estate, sort of like taking the carpet right under beneath the Americans. And the Americans are their worst enemy themselves because they haven't woken up. How do we wake up the American populace to this?
I don't think you can.
Well, I mean, they're brain dead already?
No, I don't think most people ever will. If you look through history, you'll see that most people never do anything, no matter how bad it is. And the most shocking example I've seen recently, you've got to see this. It was a magazine article published by an American magazine in the 1980s. It's at IamTheWitness.com under the Eisenhower. You see it with General Eisenhower. There was a magazine article that shows after World War II was over, General Eisenhower took more than 1 million German prisoners and fenced them in and then didn't give them any water or food, and they just slowly died over the next few weeks. And they just sit there dying. And you'll see reports they buried one another as they, you know, the ones that died first would get buried by the others. They just sat there in a pen like animals dying. And there was also reports of the British and Americans is bombing cities like Dresden for no reason, just bombing them just to kill people. But the camp that Eisenhower set up, where after the war is over, you know, General Patton released his prisoners, Eisenhower killed them. This is what the American people are like. I bet you the Zionists could take millions of Americans, just put them in a pen, and then just not give them any water or food, and they would just quietly die, just like the Germans. And the idea...
That's their agenda right now, Eric.
Well, yeah, and I don't think there would be much resistance. There's only a small number. If you look through history, there's only a small number of people that ever do anything. Most people behave like obnoxious, spoiled, bratty children. And, you know, people don't like to face this, but look at history. You'll see it over and over and over. You can take the average person, take 1 million of them, put them in a pen, and don't give them any water, and they'll just sit there and die. It's already happened. They don't do anything. And the Americans, look at New York City. There are thousands of them suffering from health problems after breathing that demolition debris. They don't do anything. The only thing some of them do is complain they need help paying their medical bills. You know, do you realize what this is equivalent to? This is equivalent to an organized crime gang coming over to you, beating you, raping you, and then all you say is, I need some Band-Aids. Could you help
and,
me with that?
Then extending you some more credit, fakery, and having you try to get that Eurochip credit card now, only to get help on your medical bills, because America hasn't even set up medical treatment for people. So we're always beholding to them. So this is very serious, where the American populace has now put a stop to the pillaging and plundering constantly of their efforts, of all the work that they've done, the human resources that they've been used as for the Zionist agenda, bottom line. That is the main thing. How do we stop giving the taxpayers money? Can't the senators or people that have any kind of say now in Congress, or are they all bought off? What are we dealing with here, Eric?
I don't think there's a single one that in the Congress that will do anything. Cynthia McKinney was standing up to him to a certain extent, but then they drove her out. You see, they're cheating everywhere. And here's another trick they'll use that most people can't even figure out. You've heard about how there's cheating in the American elections, haven't you, up there in Canada? You've heard about that?
Yes. Well, they're using that computer system
okay.
to wipe off your real voted.
Right. So what is happening?
Let's say you're trying to put in an independent and put in whatever they want.
Yeah. So you're getting people complaining that there's cheating going on in the election system. So what do they do? Groups are forming, like blackboxvoting.org, and these people are coming forward saying, well, we'll expose this crime and help create it. Well, look at who they are. They're Zionists. They create the problem, and they're there to get control of the solution. You know, they're there to help save us from Bush by providing their candidates. It's all a trick. They're not trying to solve the problem of the voting. They're just trying to make sure they're in control of it. So I don't think there's any hope for Congress. They have control of both parties. They don't even allow anybody else. If you see, if you don't get their approval, you don't even get publicity. They have the media. They control it. They decide who gets publicity. And they're giving it only to certain people. Giuliani and Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton. You know, there's only a few selected people that get the publicity.
And so they probably hand chose those people way back when.
Yes, they've been selected because the McCain family supposedly got some deal. I think it was from the Bronfmans. He lied. McCain's father, or was it his grandfather? One of them helped cover up the attack on the USS Liberty in 1967. And apparently, in return for this, the Bronfman family supplied them with all sorts of contracts or money. I forget all the details. It's that I Am the Witness that you can listen to the interviews. But you'll see it. He's apparently they work for the Bronfmans. And the Bronfman family, that's another one that's supposedly big in Canada, and supposedly they're involved with Scientology, although no one can really prove that one. But it's these families, the Bronfmans, the Oppenheimers, the Rothschilds, tremendous influence over America. And then you have some influencing the Democrats, the Simon family, the Rahm Emanuel and his family. They're everywhere you look. So how are you going to get any?
That's right. And people don't even know that what happened regarding the shooting of the leader, the black leader there.
Martin Luther King
was actually orchestrated by one of the members of the Mossad here, and this was a banking family member, Loeb III. Get this. Very interesting. He was the mayor of Birmingham. They didn't like the fact that most of the black workers who were garbage workers were going on strike to get more work. They needed the slave race kept at bay. So people don't understand that what Martin Luther King was all about was getting more money for the serfs. They didn't want to have that happen, so the orchestration of killing Martin Luther King was all done by the banking families. Get that? People still don't get the drift that they want control of the money, but how much they actually give to the workers. So we've been living under a major slave race situation for quite some time right now. And now it's whoever works the hardest gets the least amount of coins. That's why we have the problem of Mexicans coming here, because the Americans don't want to work hard at all. And other people will do so. That's why the jobs are now being lost. And different groups of people worldwide will do it for less.
Well, you see, and this is one of the things that brings down a nation whenever it becomes successful. Whenever a nation... If you see this all throughout history. You can even see it with the very first cities that developed in, I think they were calling it Mesopotamia. You know, if you look back what we now call Iraq, the very, very first cities that ever developed, once they became a city and they started getting a little bit of wealth, poor people would start coming in to get jobs. And human nature being selfish and lazy, when somebody has money and somebody else says, hey, I'll do that work you don't want to do, most everybody will say, yeah, okay, here's the money. And what happens is every time a city or a nation becomes wealthy, poor people then offer to do work. Or in some cases, you know, years ago, even be slaves. And so the wealthy people would start bringing them in to use as servants and slaves and to do all the dirty work. And after a while, the nation becomes overwhelmed with all these poor people. It destroys the nation. Because you can't have a successful nation this way. You can't have one group using another group, especially when that one group is growing constantly. You see, it's equivalent to, you got to think about it in a small scale to really understand this. Picture yourself in a family. Imagine you're, you know, a husband, a wife, and some kids. And imagine the husband, the wife, and the kids are all hiring Mexicans or Africans or Asians or whatever to do the house cleaning, to do the homework for school. Think about it, that happening on a small scale. You'd think you would be disgusted if you saw this. If you went to somebody's house and in the backyard they had some Mexicans camped out there and you said to them, what are these Mexicans camped out in your backyard for? And they respond, well, they're offering to clean the dishes for only a small amount of money. So we hire them, we let them live in our backyard. And then you go into the kid's room, you find a Mexican living in the closet. You say, what's this Mexican living in your closet for? Oh, well, he's offering to do my homework real cheap, so I hired him. You would be disgusted if you saw this kind of behavior, right? But it's going on.
But that's happening right now here in Canada.
And it's happening. You'll see it all throughout history. Whenever one nation becomes successful, they decide, oh, I'm not working anymore. Here, you can do my work. And they bring in people from other nations. And they bring in the poor people, often uneducated, and then after all these poor uneducated people are here, they start complaining. Oh, look at all these foreigners, all these uneducated foreigners. Well, whose fault is it? You brought them in. Yeah, you can say it's due to just the laziness of the human being, you see, this selfishness. And it's going to destroy America. America is already 1/3 Africans and Mexicans and Chinese and other people. And it's growing by the millions from people from Mexico and South America. Europe has got the same problem. There's a report right now that Poland is complaining they're losing a lot of their workforce because they're moving off to Western Europe to take jobs. And so what you'll see in other nations like Britain and Norway and Belgium is they're complaining the place is filling up with all these poor people from East Europe and Africa and Asia. Well, whose fault is it? They're bringing them in because they're too lazy to do their own work. And see, what happens though is it creates racial problems and it creates a very unstable society because you can't have a stable society when one group of people is trying to use another group. You see?
Exactly. My father had this idea: kick them all in the shins or in the keister there, in the behind, and everyone back to their own country and stop this because this has escalated into world control. Whoever gives the lowest bid does the slave work, and then they'll get rid of the ones that are doing the grinding. They'll always have the slave race going, and these people do it for next to nothing. This is what I see, what their agenda is all about. People don't understand that.
But you see this...
This is why the world trade problem. The world trade that Canada and U.S. and Mexico got involved with. This is very important. Eric, what do you make of this world trade business that they want? And they run the World Bank and they run all of this Federal Reserve. It's a private bank.
Well, you see, think about what I was just saying. Bringing in people like this to serve as cheap labor, it destroys a nation, you see? Now think about this. If you're a Zionist and you're trying to take over the world, how do you take over the world when you're so small? You've got to destroy the other nations. And this is one way to do it, by bringing in people. Look who are the biggest slave traders and the biggest people behind all of this, the importing of foreigners as cheap labor. It's the same group of Zionists. Who's really behind it? Look at who's behind it. They're pushing for it secretly. And what it is it allows them to break societies down. And that is what they want. They want to get more control. They want to break down all of them if they can. They're doing like they did with Serbia and Yugoslavia. Break it down into little pieces. Keep the people fighting. Break down Iraq. Break down America. Get everybody fighting. Blacks and whites, men and women, businessmen and employees. They're constantly creating fights between everybody. And by encouraging this mixing, well, it's not a mixing of people. What it is, it's an abuse. By encouraging people to migrate, to take jobs, that's breaking society down because you're using people. You're using them as, like donkeys. The Mexicans that are coming to America are not coming over here to be citizens. They're coming over here as a replacement for slaves. And that breaks a society down. You see, and that's why I think they're pushing for this. They're secretly pushing for it. And what's even weirder, in California, where I live, there are people saying we should put the Mexican children in their own special Spanish classes because they don't know English. Now, if you know anything about humans, you know that children pick up languages so fast and so easily that this is stupid to put Mexican children in a special Spanish-only class. Because you see, what I think they're doing is they want the Mexicans to grow up without learning English, because that will cause even more racial trouble. Because then once they're adults, it's much harder to learn a language. So then by raising the Mexicans as Spanish only, then you've got problems between them and even other Mexicans that know English. So what I think they're doing constantly is just creating fights, creating racial trouble, and stirring trouble up. Every time, you'll see this with the media also, when they have a fight, take that example of Rodney King. Remember when Rodney King was beaten by the white policeman?
Yes. That was a big media story covered, and
it was a very big media
story. 9/11 over and over and over again.
Yes, but what most people don't even realize is that the media turned this into white people beating black people. They had gotten millions and millions of people fooled into thinking this was a racial thing. What most people don't even realize is when Rodney King finally stopped his car and gave up. You know, he was trying to outrun the police, and when he finally gave up, the black people that were passengers in the car just got out quietly, obeyed the police, and stepped off to the side. Nobody beat them. There were black people in that room and in that car. Rodney was the only one fighting with the police. He was the only one they lost their temper with. He was the only one they beat. And yet, most people, if you bring this issue up, they're surprised to even find out there was passengers in that car. And they were just as black as Rodney. If those policemen were simply trying to attack black people, why did they let the passengers go away without getting a beating? You see what it was? It was nothing. It had nothing to do with race. This guy was causing trouble. He was resisting everything they were doing, even the black passengers. There are reports that his black passengers were telling him, "Stop it, Rodney." They were even trying to get him to quit fighting with the police. But no, he didn't want to. He was supposedly on some kind of drug at the time. And anyway, the police lose their temper, hit him too much, and they turn it into a racial thing, fool people into thinking it's all race-related, and start riots. You see what I mean? They are doing this constantly. The media is the criminal gang. And they're fooling people over and over into fighting with each other, into hating one another. And then the Rodney King riots, they were warning people ahead of time that the trial is coming up for those policemen. And if the policemen are not convicted, then the black people will riot. They started prepping people, just like when 9/11 occurred, they were immediately there to tell you it was Arabs. It was Arabs over and over. Well, prior to the trial of those policemen that beat Rodney King, they were saying, "Well, if they're not convicted, they're going to riot." They went over and over this over the days before, and then when the trial happens and the policemen were not convicted, well, guess what? riots occurred. And take a look at which buildings got burned and where the riots were, and you have to wonder, who's really behind that riot? Who was really burning those buildings? They burned, for example, Fredericks of Hollywood, an underwear store. Now, why would black people go burn an underwear store if they're mad at white policemen? And then they burned some Korean businesses and some other businesses. You know, there was one black person I was talking to who lives in the area, and he said he thinks what they were doing is they were burning the buildings that they were trying to put a road through. You know, it was all deliberate. Everything's deliberate here. It was all a trick. They were using this.
They'll actually do riots in certain areas where they want a land grab.
Or
what I see, and this might happen in the state of New York, in Bronx, and various locales where they want to redevelop.
Yeah, and plus, people like Fredericks of Hollywood may have just burned their own building down for insurance money or something. You see,
exactly.
When they have something like this, there's a lot of people involved, and so you have the problem that trying to understand it can be very difficult because some people may get involved for other reasons. Like, in some cases, some of the buildings may have been burned to allow somebody to get control of the land. Some of the buildings may have been burned just because the landlord knew this was coming, decided to take advantage of it for insurance purposes. So you have that problem, too. But all the time you see this happening where they try to get these fights going, you've got to realize the media is the enemy. If you just think of it that way, if people just realize that television is lying to you, don't believe them. Because
it's almost like a mind control mechanism, this lube tube, and they've been doing it since its inception. And now they've got the control of the young folks, and there's pretty heavy raw core pornography happening on a daily basis. And people are really, especially young, being now turned on to massive crime, and then they're almost like not even dealing with it in the fact that it might be a mass way of getting these kids to be mass murderers when you see the crime scene over and over again and people on the morgue slab. It actually makes people indifferent, and they're hitting on the young folks. This wasn't probably allowed in the 60s or 50s, this type of programming, but it is now, and Hollywood is running it.
Well, that's right. I think that might be another thing they're trying to do is create children that have see, if you can create children that have never had a happy childhood and they just grow up around killings and dead bodies and abusive conditions, it may be much easier to get them to become dysfunctional. Plus,
happening within the family.
Well, plus it may be easy. They may have discovered that this is an easy way to get people to work for them, because this is what Kay Griggs was saying. If you listen to the Kay Griggs interview, I have some excerpts at hugequestions.com. She says that what they will do is find orphans and people that are victims of abuse, because those are the people that are the easiest to control. And it may be that when a person doesn't have a happy childhood, it's when they become adults, you know, they may have less of an interest in life in the first place. They may be more like just an animal that exists from one day to the next, and it may be easier to get them to do things.
We have one.